with Jeremy Gallatin. This is Health Matters, and it sure does matter. And, of course, coming into the studios right here at 100.9 FM, which we're broadcasting right across Australia as well on the network of stations, on the Packham network of stations as well. It's good to be with you, and thanks for joining us on this particular day. The topic today we're going to discuss is employment opportunities in the health sector, and we'll be talking about that and a little bit more right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. I'd like to make welcome Mel Robinson, I should say, a senior department officer at the Health Department of WA. Good to be with you.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you today?
I haven't seen you for a while.
I know.
Yes. And and of course, tell me a little bit about country and where you're from and what you do and how you do it.
Yep. I belong to a pretty big family up in the Kimberley. I was born in Derby. I belong to the Russ family. We grew up in a community called Nullagunda, halfway up the Gibber Road, and the Noongar people are sort of claimed us as their mob.
Yes.
My granny was stolen generation, so she was taken from Turkey Creek to Beagle Bay Mission. So we've got that Yarri connection as well. So I've been living down here, so, you know, I like to think that Noongar mob think I'm okay.
I think you're okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been here for a couple of decades now, but, you know, Kimberley's my home.
And it's important to understand country too as well, because it, it gives a picture of where you're from and what you do, and tell us about the work that you do with the health department. That's the department of Department of Health. Tell me a little bit about that.
So health's gone through a fairly big change, and Department of Health is now the system manager. So we kind of set the direction and set up policy to help the health service providers to sort of implement and, you know, meet different targets and stuff. So we're a fairly big structure. We employ a lot of people. I came in, I'm a qualified registered nurse, so I did my nursing at Curtin. So I've worked in health for a long time in the nursing space. I've worked on country as well. And, you know, you see the challenges that our mob are going through. So I've got this opportunity to come into this policy space and hopefully make a bit of a difference for our people.
And also Denise Ford. Now, you're a manager, you're a HR manager at South Metropolitan Health. You're a senior officer with the with that department as well. Tell me a little bit about you.
Hi, Jeremy. I'm, as you said, I'm Denise. I'm manage the human resource department, so we're involved in a lot of the recruitment and things like that for the South Metropolitan Health Service. We're one of the HSPs that Mel spoke about. So we've got Fiona Stanley, Rockingham, Fremantle, and even Murray Districts down in Pinjarra. And my department assists people to recruit people. So we've been heavily involved in doing some work around getting more Aboriginal people on board.
And, of course, Rebecca Hotchkiss, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here today, Jeremy. So I'm a local woman here from Noongar background.
Noongar land, Noongar country.
Good. I'm at home here. So my mob are the riders. Quite a big spread around this area.
Oh, there's a lot of riders.
Yes, there's a lot of us. Some pretty good connection. I'm still trying to trace down some stuff on my paternal side, which is a bit difficult at this stage. But, yeah, thanks for having me here today.
It's a pleasure. As well as what you do, and tell me a little bit about what you do in the Department of Health.
Yeah, so I have started this year as a graduate development officer. So that's the Department of Health's graduate program. And I came in through the Section 51 which employs Aboriginal graduates, and it has been an amazing opportunity so far, and we can talk about that, my experience, a bit later. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to having this discussion today.
Yeah, and what are the stats on Aboriginal health workforce? I suppose Denise would ask you that question, wouldn't I?
Look, they could be much, much better. At the moment, we employ about 1.5% WA health. That's so right across WA, including country health, all the different HSPs. We have a target that's been set by the public sector, and we're hoping to grow that.
Yeah. And Mel Robinson, what is the reason for having many Aboriginal people in the industry? In the health industry, what do they bring?
There's so much that they bring, you know, way beyond, I guess, what a position is called and stuff, you know. So we know that Aboriginal people have the worst health outcomes of any people in our society, you know. We know people are dying younger. We know people are suffering from lots of different diseases.
Yes.
We know when they're going into a service that sometimes they experience racism. We know that for a fact, and the DG has acknowledged that, the Director General of Health. So I think at the end of the day, we know that our mob need to be getting into services earlier and getting the treatment they need, so then that their health is better. You know, we need to be looking after ourselves. So.
And also having a strong demographics of Aboriginal people, you're also bringing the experience as well, and communication experience, which is one of the good things when it comes to communicating with staff members. And also there's the reciprocity of learning, which that'll be true, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and certainly I can talk from my nursing experience.
Yeah.
You know, people knew, they know who you are. I can walk past people in the street. I don't even know them. Like, just nod at each other. Yeah, we know. So, you know, you'd be on a ward and you'd be the only Aboriginal nurse in probably the whole hospital almost. And people would know who you are and they'd hunt you down and they'd ask you questions and they'd almost grab you because they've got that connection to you and they trust you and they'll tell you stuff. Mm-hmm. And they'll share things, you know, that they won't tell other staff. I'll tell you a good story. One of the student EANs when I was at Marmaduke was on one of the wards at Royal Perth, and they couldn't understand what this lady had been saying for months. Must have been 6 weeks. She went in there and within 5 minutes she worked out what she was saying and everyone was so overjoyed. Yeah. Like all the non-Aboriginal people were just like, wow. Yeah. You know?
It seems to be like a dual role that we have, you know, and this dual role is not only for the people out there in the community, but also working with doctors and nursing staff to be able to explain some of the complexities when it comes to Aboriginal culture. Wouldn't that be...
I think that's exactly right. I think one of the things we need to recognise in WA Health is we have a lot of doctors and clinicians, full stop, and corporate staff who come from overseas as well. So there's not only the cultural barriers that Aboriginal people face just from people, you know, Australian-born people, but there's people coming from overseas, clinicians from overseas, so that that sharing that we can get from having Aboriginal people in our workforce to teach all of us and, you know, to give them better access and improve their patient care, it can only help. And I think they bring a sense of a little bit of sense of lightness to the workplace. So all the Aboriginal people I work with, I don't know, they're just a bit more cheerful, I think. And I don't know why.
Regarding the odds too as well. You know, and I was working in a hospital where there was no health workers in the early days. Mm. And when you end up being the information person of all the families and connection to country, which is a big responsibility too as well, because you're part of the clinician team working there, and that was one of the difficulties. And that's one of the good things about having more or abundance of Aboriginal people coming into this field of employment. And Denise Ford, just your name, you know, when it comes to your family and your connections to family, again, you mentioned you're from the Ryder family, which would be of great importance.
Sorry, you mean?
Yes, Rebecca. Oh, sorry, Rebecca. Denise Rebecca. sorry about that. You'd bring that within the community.
Yeah, know? It's great just having conversations with certain people, and you have that, who's your mob, where are you from, and you try and figure out where your connections really lie, and you go, oh yeah, you're my cousin, my auntie, or having those conversations even though they might be my cousin and 30 years older than me or something, which is quite often.
Yeah, and just when you came into the studio, you mentioned, you know, your family and who you are. In my mind, I remember the connections of family here, and we have a writer person working here, and, you know, straight away, just that process of connection to country.
Yeah. It's really good just to even have that in the workplace, talking to people and having that connection, like you're saying, on the hospital ward and everything like that. It's having a good conversation with people and realising how you fit into the community and to the land and everything.
My wife is from Murray Island, not a Murray Islander, but she's from Queensland, and her connection to family, and and I often think of this as well. And I said, oh, that's why you like mussels and fish and all this stuff. You must be from the coast. So her family's from the coast, you know what I mean? And that is connection. Our connections are amazing connections, and then we connect up to here in Perth, you know. Same with you, Mel. Your connection is here, and it is also elsewhere as well. Yeah. And finding Noongar country and Noongar Boodja and finding place.
Yeah, and just learning about culture down here. You know, like there's lots of similarities, but there's lots of difference as well. So
I never
stop learning about culture. You know, even when elders do Welcome to Country, you know, they're telling stories, they're sharing culture, and they're sharing with all the people in the room. But often, as an Aboriginal person, you get a lot of lessons from that. You know,
And let's talk about the 51. It was the old 50D, wasn't it? The old 50D?
50D is still in place.
It still
and
is, yeah.
Section 51, or S51 as we call it, is legislation that allows us to, I guess for want of a better word, look at a specific group of disadvantaged people who are trying to enter the workforce, and it helps us give them a little bit of support to get into the workforce. They don't specifically mean the position. So in this case, it does mean the position specifically identified for an Aboriginal person, but it does mean that if an Aboriginal person applies for a job and they've got the skills and they're able to do it, then they'll get the job.
And one of the things we need to sort of be mindful of is that anyone coming in on a 51 is they're just as qualified as anyone else, but from a cultural setting. You know, you're looking at a cultural background, because as I go back in experience, going back into hospitals and all that stuff, I found that you know, we were used and called upon even in the middle of the night. You know, there's, even if someone's in an ambulance, and we were there to talk to the people. Now, there was no Aboriginal support workers in those early days of time, but the medical staff knew that they can get some resources, and this is the most important part of the 51.
It is. It's and I think it's important not just for clinicians. It's important right across the health service. You know, it's great to have people on reception as ward clerks, the porters that take the people from, you know, X-ray to ED or to the ward or wherever. It's you know, the more Aboriginal people we can get in every sector in health, the better it's got to be for patient care, for Aboriginal patient care.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, the dual role, which is again, how many times Mel, you would have been working away, and someone would ask you a question, and that's the reciprocity of understanding and learning. Which is so important as well, and that comes with that position, doesn't it? You know, that learning about country as well. So of course the hospital staff and people are learning a lot more about Aboriginal culture, learning more about country, and you know, that's education, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Really.
And
you would have gone through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess 50D has been great, and we've got a lot of Aboriginal people into the system, but what we're finding is it's not enough. You know what I mean? We need to do more, and this is one of the other things that we are doing to show that health is committed, you know, to Aboriginal people and to the community. And, you know, we need to turn things around and make it that when you walk into a hospital, you see a number of different Aboriginal people, you know, in a variety of roles, and they're all there to support you, but they're also, you know, teaching other staff, teaching non-Aboriginal people, teaching people from overseas, you know, about our culture, about our people, and changing those stereotypes, you know, that blackfellas are lazy and they don't work and they don't want to work. And, you know, actually a lot of Aboriginal people do want to work and are successful in society. You don't see them splashed all over the news all the time. So changing those views that people have, and not everyone in health has that view, you know, but lots of people are supportive of our community, but we're just trying to change people's thinking a bit.
Let's give me some sort of personal experiences of one of the good things that you've done over time that you go, oh, that's a good moment. you know, when you're assisting people within this field?
I think for me, it's just that changing that journey for someone. You know, when someone comes in and they're really sick and they're really struggling and they might have had a bad experience of a hospital before and they're really scared this time. So, you know, when they see you, it's like that weight gets lifted and they know that you understand where they're coming from, you know, who they are, where they fit in society. And you can, you know, make them want to stay and get the treatment. So, you know, I used to get involved a lot when people were going, I'm leaving, you know, I've had enough of this place. And I'd sort of just go in and have a yarn with them, find out what's going on. And that would be enough to change their, you know, and make them stay and get the treatment and get better and then go home, you know. Whereas if they left early, they could have got sicker and it could have been worse, you know.
And it comes back to that communications, which is important, and to actually communicate. I'm talking about cultural communication as well, you know, the importance, because, again, a lot of our people, some of our Aboriginal people, will go to a point of going, okay, no worries, I want to get out of here. Really, they really don't like what's been done or something's been said or anything. And they won't, they'll hold that in, culturally holding all these processes in. And of course, that makes it difficult because that's where the communication is breaking down. But to be able to use that and go, okay, no worries, using an Aboriginal person to actually go out there and talk. And the same with you, Rebecca, is that you'll find that when you get out in the, into the, where you are in the workforce, but you'll find that, that the importance is to see what's underneath what people are saying. They don't normally tell people these things until they speak to someone. It's almost like like attracts like, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely coming across different people from different backgrounds. As you were saying to Mel before about the different support and the good moments, is when you communicate with other Aboriginal employees at the Department of Health, they're always willing to have a conversation with you, help you.
Yeah.
And then even coming across non-Aboriginal people, they're always, you know, they're curious and they're questioning, and majority of my experience so far has been quite positive. There has been a little bit of negative, but majority is, going to be the positive conversations and experiences.
And you bring the positiveness there.
Yes, hopefully.
And, you know, by breaking those barriers down, you know, breaking the, I suppose, the barriers that are out there and say, you know, who are you, where are you from, country, and all of a sudden you're bringing the people out more so, and they can actually talk to you much easier, you see, from country.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. We are working to get some more graduates in for the Department of Health, and having a good conversation with prospective students that are, you know, looking to finish uni shortly, we can have a conversation with them that's a lot more genuine.
Yeah.
And having that connection with them will hopefully result in more applicants and more people working for the Department of Health.
Yeah. Mel? As well, and Mel Robinson I'm speaking with here at Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. She's a Senior Development Officer at the Department of Health. Denise Ford I'm also talking with, who's a Manager of HR, South Metropolitan Health Services, and Rebecca Hotchkiss, who's a graduate as well, and you're working with the Department of Health as well. And I'll talk to you, Rebecca. Tell me how you got the position and why did you get into what you got into?
Yeah, so I've been pretty passionate about healthcare for quite some time, and I finished my university degree last year, so that was a Bachelor of Preventive Health. And the graduate program, which is run by the Department of Health, came across through uni. That was suggested that we apply for it, and at the time I didn't really know too much about it. There were two quarantine positions for Aboriginal applicants.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought, you know, why not? Let's give it a shot. And fortunately for that, I was successful and I started working for the Department of Health as of January this year. It's been an absolutely amazing, surreal experience. I've met a lot of really supportive people along the way. So within the last 4 months that I've been there, I've made connections with people from all areas of health. And as I mentioned that my degree is health promotion or preventive health, you can understand that that's not a clinical background.
Yes.
So the program runs for 12 months and it's for non-clinical graduates, and it provides you with invaluable work experience and I might just add here that it is a paid on a full wage, so it's a fully paid 12-month program, and it's a general corporate stream, so there is a business and finance stream that has already opened, but the general corporate stream looks at people from all different backgrounds at university. So we do have some business, we've got some people in sciences, we've got people that have done biology, and then there's myself, health promotion and nutrition.
Yeah.
So as you can imagine, that there's the hospitals that are the forefront of healthcare, but everything behind that, you've got people in communications, you've got people that are doing the project work. So every degree imaginable is applicable to this program, and I really encourage anyone to apply for it, because the opportunity is, it's priceless, the support that you can get. So with the program, there are 3 4-month rotations, so that's 3 different projects you get to choose from. And when I say choose, I got to choose out of 94 placements of where I wanted to work to align my skills and where I wanted to go.
No wonder you enjoy your job.
Yes, I love it. So, and the opportunities are endless. So just to let you know, in 2 weeks' time, I'll actually be moving to Karratha to work on the opening of the new Karratha Health Campus and transitioning from the old hospital. So you really can be doing some big things there.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, coming back to Denise Ford, you're the HR manager. You'd be the types of employment that you can get in the industry, if I can say.
I think sometimes, you know, we tend to forget as a community that there's more to healthcare than nurses and doctors. We, of course, have the allied health people, physiotherapists, podiatrists, occupational therapists. I'm going to miss one of them and they're going to tell me off, but that's okay. speech therapists and so on. But we also have what we call our PCAs, which are the porters, you know, the people that wheel people around in the wheelchairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And they probably are really the face of a hospital most times, because they have so much patient interaction.
So close contact too.
Yeah, so you know, if you like working with people and you're gentle and you care, great job to go into.
Yeah.
Usually good hours, because you can work, you know, it's 24/7 business. So there's those, there's clerical roles, there's wall clerk roles, there's human resource jobs, all you people. We're always looking for human resource consultants. And there's the business jobs, there's the grad ones that Rebecca's spoken about. We've got cleaners, we've got cooks, we've got all sorts of things in health. I think, you know, it's because it's that 24/7. Oh, dear me. Not enough coffee today, people. Business, it's, you know, it goes constantly. So there's all sorts of streams there. So you don't need to have a tertiary qualification, don't need to have gone to uni to come and work in cook.
We've got chefs as well, haven't you?
We do. We have cooks. Not all sites have cooks anymore, because some of them, but most of them do. So and, you know, the South Metropolitan Health Service, we've put Section 51 on all of our jobs. So if you're an Aboriginal person looking for work, have a look at our jobs, because we're hoping to get more and more people in using that process.
Yeah, yeah.
But, there's such a variety. And if you don't know, you know, give us a call in Human Resources at any of the hospitals. We're happy to tell you about the sort of work we've got.
Yeah. And, of course, Mel, what are some of the barriers that people might face out in the community from your experience, you know, working in hospitals as well? What are some of those things that might sort of deter people to a point?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of barriers. You know, I think the biggest barrier is not knowing that these opportunities exist, you know. I talked to a lot of community, you know, during NAIDOC and at different expos and stuff, and they're like, oh, you employ people who can do that, you know, so they don't understand.
So it's just information getting out there, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah, and that's what we found with 51 as well. We're not getting that information out there. Obviously, people have family and cultural obligations, and sometimes that's a barrier to being able to work.
Yeah.
Another thing a lot of mob don't realise is you can actually have flexible work arrangements. So, you know, a position might say it's full time, but you can actually negotiate and say, well, actually, that doesn't meet my family needs. Is there any way I could do part time, you know, maybe 2-3 days a week? So I think people just don't understand that they can do some of that stuff. And I think just feeling like you can't compete with some of the non-Aboriginal mob, you know,
So it's some degree of sort of self-worth and going into a new environment too as well, you know, from normally looking for a job, you're maybe a truck driver or maybe a policeman or whatever, but going into a different field of employment and there are a lot of strength there as well. There's a lot of strength that Aboriginal people have.
Yeah, and a lot of skills that they bring, you know, from life and stuff. And I think, you know, our sense of humour is one of them that Denise has mentioned.
It's a crazy sense of humour, I can tell you.
It's a great sense of humour. And resilience.
So trying to have fun at work, you know, like our job is fairly serious, you know, we're all under pressure, but, you know, we can still have a bit of fun and have a laugh, you know, so...
It's almost like that placebo effect, isn't it?
You know, it is.
When you're happy, everyone else is happy. Yeah. And coming back for the placebo effect, when it comes to Aboriginality too, is to bring that out. I remember a cleaning staff member at one of the hospitals, and she was always laughing, and everyone was gravitating to her. Mm-hmm. And even with patients coming up there, say hello, how are you going? And her name was Arida. You wouldn't believe it, eh?
Yeah, must run in the family then.
It does run in the family.
Optimism.
And there was a lot of optimism when it comes to a country hospital, when you're working in that environment and working with people out there in the community, and to be able to also alleviate those barriers as we're talking about, Mel.
Yeah, and I guess another big one is the recruitment process itself. That's a massive barrier, and Denise can obviously talk about this as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people just, we make it so complicated to apply for jobs, and that's what we're trying to do with 51, to say, it doesn't need to be that complicated, you know,
right.
And I'll let Denise talk about
that. Yeah, we're actually, I guess from a South Metro perspective, we've actually got a great big, our HR operational plan this year. We've got a big project, our two big projects are simplifying recruitment. And we're targeting at the moment those jobs that don't require tertiary qualifications. So to apply for a job in the public sector at the moment, you have to do all sorts of stuff like address things called selection criteria and so on.
Yeah,
Very laborious and not really achieves the best outcome in most things. So what we're doing is going to change all that process and make it a lot easier. And we're hoping to run some sessions to encourage people who don't know how to apply for a job, even once we've simplified it. So working with Nola's team at Fiona Stanley to try and get some information out into the community on how to apply. But we're going to take away that requirement to address the selection criteria, particularly for our wall clerk jobs and our porter jobs and things like that, because we need people that want to come to work and are happy to be there rather than people that know how to write a 5-page selection criteria. And we know we need more Aboriginal people meeting our Aboriginal patients. So that's one of the things that we're working on. But you're right, you know, you've got to go onto the website, you've got to know the name of the job you're looking for, and then you've got to understand its title. Even some of our titles are a bit, well, different. So we're hoping to make that a bit more simple, you know. Patient care assistants, instead of calling our ward clerks HIMS clerks, because everyone says, well, what's a HIMS clerk? Is that a HIM that's a clerk?
Well, you know, it's
a ward clerk. Put it back and tell people what it is.
Yeah. That's very simple, and it's very simple when you sort of put it like this as well. Another way to get into the industry, and that is volunteers, which is really good, people who are wanting to go into this particular industry. They may be drivers or maybe volunteer staff members. How many areas in that field?
I can't quote right throughout WA Health, there's, I only know of one Aboriginal volunteer at Fiona Stanley, but we have almost 300 volunteers there, so it'd be great to see some more Aboriginal volunteers. There are some at Rockingham General Hospital, and I'm not sure at Murray District, down in Pinjarra, because they're a little bit different and I don't really keep track of them, or Fremantle, but I know of an Aboriginal driver at Fremantle Hospital. If you've got a bit of time on your hands and you'd like to go and interact with some of the Aboriginal, it doesn't even have to be Aboriginal patients, it can be any patients, then get hold of the volunteer coordinators at any hospital. Every hospital has them. They have volunteer coordinators or someone that does that. Great opportunity. There's vetting processes and we help you get through that sort of stuff. There's no cost because we pay, health pays for all the costs for things like working with children checks or those sorts of things. And I guess this is an opportunity to say to people, this applies for volunteers and for jobs. I'm sorry, it's just come to me. Don't be alarmed if you've got a criminal record. We have this process that looks at your criminal record. And we're pretty good, unless you're going to do something really, really awful to one of our patients tomorrow, pretty good at looking at that and going, you know a bit of a bad time they went through at some stage. Let's get them into the system and see how they go.
It's also a good way. It's more of a prerequisite to get employment in there, because you're getting to know people too as well. So if there is a volunteer maybe out of work, and that could be a great way for an Aboriginal person who's saying, okay, no worries, I'm volunteering once a week or one day a week or whatever. Is that fair to say that it'd be a good prerequisite to
get into that? And I think importantly as well, you're seen, but you also get to know people and you get to know departments. So you might have a perception of a hospital, of what it is, that it's just full of wards and things like that. And you get there and you find a kitchen and think, great, you know, love cooking. Don't know what opportunities are here, but get myself seen and find out. So I think volunteering, there's all sorts of benefits. Benefits for you, benefits for the patients, but great way to find out what really happens in a health service.
Mm. And that overall conversation, which is so important, isn't it? When you have a conversation, you're talking and you're passing information across, and the thing is with people when they become, I suppose, when they go into a hospital, is that you've got someone out there and you make a connection. You see, you're starting to talk to someone, and of course they feel better. They feel a little bit better than what they are and when they're in. That's important, and you're talking from a young perspective as well, so that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Having that conversation can just alleviate some of the anxiety of going into a hospital setting. You know, you might have come from pretty far away and visiting a hospital and you don't really know your way around it. And just if you have those volunteers or anyone there to assist you, it can really, I don't know, I get nervous going into hospitals myself.
And
to have someone there, you know, that can have a good yarn with and make me feel comfortable and show me where the good coffee is, which is pretty important in a hospital setting, I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, people remember you for that.
Yes, where the good coffee spots are. And I'll just take this back to the grad program. It's where those supports are built. I mean, I've met a lot of people that are really supportive in that area, and they'll take you and they'll show you on the path that you can go, and really reinforce of, you know, the sky's the limit and you really can achieve so much on that. And I just want to get a bit of a plug in here. So if any of these listeners know of anyone who is about to finish uni this year or has finished uni last year, no matter what degree they've done, I really advise them to have a look at the WA Health website and Aboriginal Pathways for the General Corporate Graduate Development Program, and have a look at that and see what we can offer, because it is an amazing opportunity. And there is a seminar on the 10th of August that will be held in Perth, and just come along with your family, even if you're a few years out of graduating, and understand that, you know, there's this opportunity and it's something that people can aspire to do, and, you know, work with these incredible people and be supported from leaving uni right through to a career that might be fast-tracked 5 or 10 years.
And if anyone's out there that they could ask you,
you can
provide the information.
Of course, I would love to help anyone that is there that just wants to have a chat to someone that's, you know, I'm more of a peer to them because I've only just finished uni last year, so I can talk to them about the anxieties I had going into the program. I mean, the steps are pretty arduous, as they mentioned, the selection criteria. Unfortunately, that is something that does need to be completed, but I would love to help anyone and increase the employment for the Department of Health.
When you say that, I think of the assignments that I had to do.
Yes.
Indent and extent referencing.
Yes, that still happens sometimes.
Oh, dear, that was great anxiety. And then you've got to stand in front of to do a tutorial. That's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for anyone.
Public speaking is a good tool to have under your belt, though. It really helps when you come on the radio like this.
Well, this is amazing. The first time, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is, so I might be a bit nervous.
You're not sounding it. But anyway, let's go to a break, because we'll go to a break, and this is a break. So in a few minutes to talk a little bit more right here at Noongar Radio. And that's it. So 2 seconds. You're listening to 100.9 FM Perth. It's Jeremy Garnett here. This is Health Matters. And, of course, we have our experts in here in the studios of 100.9 FM, and we're talking about employment in the industry, which is really important to understand what employment is when, you know, getting work and finding work and going into a different industry altogether. And it's all about health as well, and how do I get into that, and some of the benefits as well. There's been let's talk about some of those benefits of going into a field like this.
Well, the benefit to me is just having that support. So the grad program actually enables you to do a diploma of leadership and management as well, and so then that builds up our skills, and it helps link us in with other organisations and the wider community of things that we can, you know, not only do in our work life, but in our everyday life. It's the skill building of talking to people from different backgrounds that you might not have access to. So the Department of Health is a culturally diverse organisation as well. So you might not in your everyday life communicate with people from different countries, but the Department of Health enables that. And they're the skills that you can have if you bump into someone at the shopping centre, or you have these different conversations, and the skills you really build up personally can be transferred to your personal life.
Yeah, and the diversity, because of people coming everywhere to come to a hospital, and then having that diverse approach, and the Aboriginality side of it is important, because the Aboriginal people are coming through the system as well. And to have that diversity, that no doubt is, Mel, is an important process. And it is that conversation, as Rebecca has mentioned, as well as the importance.
Yeah, and look, there's only a small number of Aboriginal people. Like, we're a system of 44,000 people, and we've got just over 660 Aboriginal people working. So we can't give care to every single Aboriginal person who's coming into the services. You know, we know that we need to work alongside non-Aboriginal staff and teach them about our culture, teach them about our ways, so they can deliver some of that care, but also that, you know, Aboriginal patients are the biggest users of our services, and we need to be giving care that they want.
Yes.
And we need to be helping them get better health, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and I suppose that we'll look at other outcomes, health outcomes as well, having that sort of approach.
Well, and we're not going to talk about today, sorry Denise, to cut you off, but we're not going to talk about today, but we do a lot of work around cultural learning.
Yeah.
We have an Aboriginal e-cultural learning, which, you know, not everyone's into online, but to make sure all our staff have that basic understanding, but they still need to go out and learn in their local community about culture. Sorry, Denise.
I was just going to add on to Mel's thing about, you know, sometimes accessing the health system prevents you from having to access it again later. So I think for the perspective for Aboriginal people, if we can get them learning about our system, if we're more comfortable educating them and communicating them, if not Aboriginal people are better at doing that, then they learn more about that preventative stuff. So I think that's a big plus as well. You know, some of the Aboriginal people I've spoken to in health said once they've learned, Aboriginal grandmothers are a classic, I think. Some of the girls I know from my local area, more comfortable going into the hospitals where the Aboriginal grandmothers are instead of, and getting that prenatal care and things like that. So lots of benefits.
The other thing I was thinking about is, you're looking at diversity here with language as well, because every Aboriginal group is quite different. My group is quite different to the Northwest. I speak a multi-language, and I speak a language, and we speak language totally. Really, it's difficult to actually fathom that, to be able to do that, to become diversified. But the thing is that just... like, we're on Noongar Boodja here, Noongar country, and how important is sort of just a couple of the words of Noongar language, and how much that opens the door. And I found that in my community up in the north, because there was a Mananjari, Kakanjari, Webuljari, and all the jaris everywhere, and Ngaranyaranyanewala, which we would say to people, and they, oh yeah, we know where I'm from. I said yes. So, and the thing was Ngaranyana was hello, how you going, and talking about that to small things makes a big impact on a particular person who's in a situation.
It's a great point, isn't it?
So cultural learning is really important.
Yeah, we have word of the week, we have Nola's team at Fiona Stanley. They give us a word of the week
wow.
in our global news that goes out every week. We get one word every week.
Wow.
And I actually heard a nurse using her using that word the other day with a patient, and the patient's face just lit up.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, just that one word. She said, oh, I hope I've got this in the right context. But, the patient was just,
I tell you what, we're really running from time.
I know.
There's a lot of information we can talk about here. Yeah, and it is beautiful information too as well. It's about community and going out there. And I always think of the word reciprocity to people is that being reciprocity, having that process and being adaptable, that's probably the best way to put it, Mel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess my big plug today is just to let, people out there know that there's lots of different pathways into health. We've done quite a bit of work because we've got an Aboriginal workforce policy and also our Aboriginal workforce strategy to try and promote those pathways. So we've developed a Pathways into Health booklet, which is available on our website as well. And that just shows the range of ways you can get into jobs in health. You know, you don't necessarily need to have a qualification. You can get a job off the street, you know, with some skills that you'll bring around communication and working with community and stuff. Then there's vocational training, you know, places like Marmaditch where you can go and get a qualification.
Yes,
and there's lots of jobs through that pathway. And then obviously university is another big pathway. Yes, we do have a lot of people with university degrees, but underneath there is a lot of support. Workers who don't have high level qualifications, and we don't want to rule people out, you know, just because they haven't got a piece of paper, just knowing about that, like I said before, you knowing where the opportunities are, knowing how to get into the system, and like Denise said, once you're in the system, you'll see all these other doors open up, and I guess Rebecca's experiencing that with her grad program as well, so...
You want to say something?
Yeah, well, just having the opportunity to go up to Karratha at the end of the month is going to be a huge opening doors for me.
Yes.
And then I've been working in mental health at the moment for the North Metropolitan Health Service and meeting a lot of people that, you know, I will be looking at towards the end of my contract and saying, hey, where can we go from here? Where can we look at? And that's the opportunity with the graduate program is you have these three opportunities to create all these pathways and meet new people and go, oh, can you remember me in September and put up a job and I will apply for it.
I wanted you to do something when you go to Karratha.
Yep.
Can you, I mean, you don't have to, but we have the oldest stones around Karratha.
Yep.
Beautiful. The archipelago, I think it is. It's a beautiful place. And there were 100,000-year stones.
Wow.
Amazing carvings.
Wow.
That's why it's beautiful.
Yes.
And meeting people up there as well. And you're diversifying again because you're speaking with people from a different culture as well.
Yeah, well, I've actually got an uncle who's a writer that lives up there, so I'll hopefully be connecting with him and he can take me out bush and, you know, show me some of the ways up there. He's been living there for a fair few years and I'm really looking forward to having, you know, the access and the connection to the Pilbara. I haven't spent any time there and it's just going to be an amazing experience to, you know, really get out onto country, even if it's not Noongar. I really will feel the connection up
but
there
you'll
too.
But you'll have the connection. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
It doesn't matter where we are in Australia, we'll always have the connection with the country.
Connection, they say too, as well. Of course, Denise Ford, where are you going? You staying?
I'm staying, yeah. Look, if I had my way, I'd be retiring to Coral Bay, but that won't be happening. Hope my boss isn't listening.
It's a beautiful place.
It is. I grew up in around Newman. So Coral Bay was our holiday destination and, my favourite place in the world. But I'm off track here.
No, you're not. No, you're not. What we're talking about is the diversity of places and the diversity of people too as well because we're dealing with people who... I shouldn't say that, but we're healing people with all different places and country is so much of is where connection is.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place as well. Anything you'd like to add with the position?
I would. I'd just like to let 51. People know that once they're in the system as well, we've got lots of supports in place. So we don't just recruit you and then go, okay, we've done our job. you know, tick, tick. We've got lots of sports and we're working really hard to get better at that and get better at our mentoring and doing connections with Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people doing mentoring and that reciprocalization talk, you know, doing all of that. So don't feel that if you get into the system, you'll just become a number. I think that's really important to get that message out there.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
You know, and we're happy to take feedback on what we could do better.
There are people as well. Hate to end this interview. It's so good. Really enjoyed this show, and you know, it is the people that come in here to talk radio and health matters, and it is important. And of course, Mel Robinson, you're a senior department officer at the Department of Health. Where can people get in contact with you if they hear you here on the radio?
Probably
1,000 people.
I'm always out and about. Obviously, Aboriginal Health Policy Director, where I work, I need to put a plug in for them. You know, we've got our website, the Aboriginal Health website. Each of the health services have their own Aboriginal Health websites and workforce sites. I would encourage people to look at Aboriginal Cadetship Program because we are recruiting for next year. So anyone who's studying at uni. So if you Google Aboriginal Cadetship Program, you'll find me or you'll find someone that you can contact, and, you know, my email's there, my phone number
Too easy.
And if I'm not around, you know, because I win lotto or something, there's always someone out there who can help you. And, you know, when you're out at the expo, NAIDOC Week, we're going to be at Ashfield, all the services and me.
Fantastic, yes.
So come along and have a yarn with us and ask questions. Yeah. You can obviously go to the WA Health Jobs Board and then the Aboriginal Jobs Board and just start searching around and asking, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to have you three in the studios. It's absolutely brilliant, and we could talk more now. So thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Jeremy.